What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield. Joining me today at the roundtable, I have all seniors from the Rickards IB program. I would like to welcome Alexandra Rogers, who is into books.
Hello. Nice to be here.
Glad to have you. Keandre Holyfield. He is into soccer and languages and traveling and art.
Hello. It's a pleasure to be here.
Glad to have you also. Nicholas Barrett. Nicholas is into physics and painting and a number of things, and we're glad to have him.
Thank you, Dr. Holyfield.
Shaquanda Simmons is another graduating senior. They all have that look of the senioritis. Has that set in on you all yet?
All the well.
She's into photography and editing. And Ben?
Yes. Thanks for inviting us.
Well, thanks for coming. Today's teens are a technologically sophisticated generation. Mobile phones, internet, music, videos are all important. This edition, we're going to look at these things. We're going to look at lifestyles and how do teens interact with the world. The prevalence of smoking in the United States has declined drastically since 1964, when the U.S. Surgeon General released a major report linking smoking to lung cancer and other health problems. But health officials worry about the emergence of e-cigarettes and how they may seem to make smoking again cool. What is your position on smoking in general and e-cigarettes specifically? And whomever. I'm looking at you, Nicholas, so you got the hot seat.
All right. So I personally think smoking of tobacco is absolutely disgusting. I mean, mm-hmm. there's a large number of hazardous chemicals, especially those linked to cancer, that are contained in cigarettes specifically. The emergence of e-cigarettes is definitely, I guess, affecting my life because a lot of people I know are using e-cigarettes or vapes or vape pens or.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, I want to hear about it, and you know, we all do because that's what one of the things we're going to talk about is these e-cigarettes and how do they recognize, you know, how bad, how negative the negative effects that they may have on them. Let me get everybody else's opinion, and we'll come to that. How do you feel about it? What's happening with you, Shaquanda?
I'm basically the same as Nick. I don't support it either, mm-hmm. but I have seen an increase in the use of e-cigarettes since they came out. Because when they first came out, a lot of people didn't know about them, but now that they're beginning to be more popular and sold in, like, the mall and places like mm-hmm. that, students, I guess, they're getting access to them. Because I know a few students who, I don't know if they own them, but they definitely have them, and they're using them. So, yeah.
You know, they're there, huh?
Yeah, they're there. I don't know if they own them,
though. Uh-huh. Keandre?
Oh, well, personally, I've made a vow to myself to never smoke or to never drink. So, you know, that being an athlete, I would never do those things. And so, personally, I don't see smoking as a very helpful thing. You know, I know people use it to help them with life problems and, you know, all the things that they go through life, you know, stress, and it's to relieve stress. But I believe there's other ways to get through that. And smoking also, the damage it does to your health is just it's too pricey for the, you know, mm-hmm. effects that it comes out of it. So okay. I don't feel like it's worth it personally.
Alexandra, where do you sit? I mean, do you have friends that use e-cigarettes? Are you familiar with that?
Most of my family smokes.
Okay.
Not like my brothers, but my parents mm-hmm. and uncles and aunts. And My mom and her sister used e-cigarettes as like a step down, and they're actually not smoking anymore. But people like my dad and his best friend from high school, they still smoke. Like, I know my uncle smokes every 30 minutes.
Well, you know, it's an addiction.
Yeah.
I mean, people have to understand, it's not like, oh, it's a bad habit. I mean, it's our character flaw. It's an addiction.
Yeah.
I mean, they're addicted to the nicotine. And I'm glad that you brought up that point about your mom using it kind of as a step down, because that's one of the ways that it had been, I guess, initially used as a step down. Because what happens is with the e-cigarette, you don't really burn the carcinogenic tobacco. It's the nicotine. It's the vapor, you know, that you get. So that makes a lot of sense. So you don't smoke.
No. I grew up with it all around me.
Mm-hmm.
So even when, like, my dad smokes in the car,
it's really hard to breathe
in. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I've ever actually, like, touched a cigarette. Like, I've avoided them particularly mm-hmm. on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Because
they're just...
Have you been concerned about secondhand smoke?
Not particularly. I've always had a pretty good clean bill of health.
Okay.
But I know, like, my brother has a difficulty with his heart, and I think it might affect him more than it ever affected me or my other brother.
Okay.
So.
Now, how popular are e-cigarettes? Because all of you have mentioned somebody you knew that were smoking e-cigarettes. You mentioned, Shaquanda, that they have become more popular. Why? I mean, why do you think they've become more popular?
I think is that they feel that they're not as harmful.
Mm.
And it's kind of like I've heard, well, she's not a classmate of me, but she attends the same school mm-hmm. as I do. And she basically thought that they're not harmful at all and that it's just water, vapor. And I'm like, no, that's not right. So I guess that just that whole view would make you want to try, I guess, something that you don't think will hurt you.
Okay. Yeah, feel free. Okay. Get in the conversation.
I also think it's like it's gaining popularity because of, you know, the tricks that you can do with the smoke. And so people, they want to look
what
cool.
What kind of tricks do you do?
You know, like the rings
videos.
And whatnot. And there's a lot of, like, social media has sort of, like, lifted up smoking tricks and whatnot.
Okay.
And so maybe from that, people think that it's, like, cooler now to do smoking tricks. And since it's specifically going to the e-cigarettes, since they feel like it's not as harmful as the regular cigarettes, they feel like, oh, they can still be popular without taking all the negative effects that it has.
Sure, Nicholas.
I mean, yeah, so, like, e-cigarettes, like, from my perspective, were supposed to be used to help people who have a smoking addiction mm-hmm. to tobacco to help curve that away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done that. It's done a great job at that.
Yeah. Alexandra was talking about her mom. That's an excellent example.
But now everyone else is like, hey, it's not really bad to your health compared to tobacco, so why not do it?
Plus, you know how they're marketed. They have
Absolutely.
All these different flavors.
Mm-hmm.
Chocolate, bubble gum, peppermint. I mean, so it seems like they're marketed to aimed is at young folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I went in the mall and they just had them. I forgot which store it was exactly. It was one of the newer stores.
Mm-hmm.
And they just had them all lined up in all the different flavors. And I'm like, what in the world is this?
Really? And are there... What's the requirements for buying them? Now, I know...
You have to be 18.
You're supposed to be 18. But, I mean...
But if you have a friend that's 18...
That's
what absolutely.
And they're really accessible, so that's the problem now.
I mean, that's the same thing with, like, alcohol, tobacco, or any of that. If you have someone who's older than you, or if you have access to it, then you're going to buy it. So it's not like it's incredibly difficult.
And especially seniors who are getting towards that age. Like, I turn 18 Tuesday, so technically I'm able to buy one Tuesday. So, but I'm not going to buy one. But technically, I'm able to.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the share of young people using e-cigarettes doubled in 2012 from the previous year. So we are, and this just illustrates everything that you all have said, that we're seeing a definite increase in the use. They also found that 1.8 million middle and high school students had tried e-cigarettes. I mean, I find that just, you know, mind-blowing. That's a lot of folks.
I mean, I personally don't doubt that at all. I mean, just mm-hmm. compared to the amount of people that I've known that at least own them. I mean, own them if not have. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can assume that a certain portion of the people around them have used theirs.
Mm. Well, when we look at this and we look at this new wave of, could it be causing a new wave of nicotine addiction? Because people don't understand that it's the nicotine in it. That's what it's all about. You just don't have the tobacco leaves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, and that's the thing. They one of the negative effects that comes from using e-cigarettes is that, yes, it's taking you away from using the tobacco and getting the nicotine out of that, but mm-hmm. now it's giving you another addiction.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like choosing the lesser of the two evils, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like it's trying to battle this big evil with a smaller one, which is helping in a way, but at the same time, it's still bad. And so I think we need a more positive way to go about it, you know, instead of giving them less harmful cigarettes.
Well, for example, I know some countries have banned e-cigarettes completely. I think Canada and Mexico and Brazil have banned e-cigarettes. And then Australia allows only brands that don't contain nicotine. So I don't know how they monitor that, but that I read that Australia allows that. So the truth is that e-cigarettes here are just unregulated. You know, there's nobody looking at them. I think the FDA tried to ban e-cigarettes, but a federal judge overruled that. So they couldn't ban them. He said that they should be regulated, but at this point, my research would indicate that they aren't even regulated at this point.
Yeah, even without banning them, I feel like the age limit should at least go up because mm-hmm. that's too close to the high school age.
I mean, that's especially with just because they are so prevalent and they are, I don't know if the, because, I mean, there's not a whole lot of data because they're relatively new.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, there should be some monitors, especially on.
Yeah. Well, it's good to hear you all say that. We're going to take a quick break. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. I'm talking with students from the IB program at Rickards High School, and we are looking at a number of different lifestyles in the young population. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and we are looking at a number of issues and concerns that exist as far as lifestyle is concerned with teens and young adults. We had been talking about e-cigarettes. Did you have anything else you all wanted to say about e-cigarettes? Yeah, Alexandra.
You guys were talking about them being banned in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, depending on how they're used, it may kind of make sense. But the whole point of them is to help people who have these cigarette addictions go
mm-hmm.
down. And so regulation would definitely help for people who, like, I don't know, prescribing maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Or definitely stop, like, they're advertised so much of these as these slick, sleek, nice
mm-hmm.
things.
Exactly.
Rather than, like, I know I've seen maybe one advertisement of an actual kit that helps you slowly cut down on how much nicotine you're taking in. But I've seen so many other commercials on just how pretty they are.
Mm-hmm, how cool they are.
Yeah.
You know, it's the cool generation now.
How light it is in your hand.
Right. You know. So, I mean, where do we go? Who do you hold responsible? I mean, do we hold the manufacturers responsible? Or FDA? Because the judge that overruled the banning here in the United States said that they could be regulated by the FDA. So, I mean, just who do you hold responsible for this, in your opinion?
I guess.
I mean, I guess, like, now the judge kind of handed it to the FDA, so it's out of the judicial system. So, I mean, I think it should be the responsibility of the FDA to collect information
mm-hmm.
and then assess the situation and implement, I mean,
regulations. Do you think, well, I'm thinking, do you think the manufacturers of them have any responsibility? Because, you know, there have been a number of suits associated with smoking tobacco where people, you know, got cancer. And the companies, Philip Morris, whatever, were held responsible for these individuals who may have died from cancer, lung cancer that was related to smoking. So that's why I threw that in there and said, do we hold the manufacturers responsible? Because some people are going to be addicted to nicotine. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to be the end result of this.
I mean, manufacturers, I mean, it's, I mean, they're just manufacturing a product. So, I mean, it is.
Okay.
I think that the manufacturer should be held accountable because it's what they're putting into their product, and they're knowingly putting in dangerous chemicals into their product.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, then maybe the FDA should step in and say, you're only allowed to sell this product if it doesn't include this and
X, that, Y, and Z.
Which is going to be harming everybody, which is giving lung cancer. So
good point.
I think it's also a large part in the way they advertise it. I mean, if they point it out, it's to help you get rid of the already existing addiction rather than just saying, hey, look at it.
Right, and I think you raise a good point. That's what I was talking about when I was talking about the marketing and the chocolate and bubble gum and vanilla. They're marketed to young folks, to appeal to young folks. So, you know, if the FDA could control that, the type of marketing. And they can, because how often do you see a cigarette commercial? You don't.
Okay?
Not anymore. And that's a change that has occurred. So just like they instituted that, it seems like they could do that with e-cigarettes. I don't know. But that, you know, that's just something, some food for thought. Okay, well, moving right along, because there's a ton of things we can talk about. A recent outbreak of measles renewed the debate on vaccinations, okay? This happened last year. It was an outbreak.
Okay, yeah.
Right. But, I mean, it's opened up this whole debate on vaccinations. The outbreak was in Disneyland where an infected child exposed a whole lot of kids to measles. And in the United States, more and more Americans are going unvaccinated. And this is in a response to an anti-vaccine movement that dates all the way back to 1998, where it was suggested that there was a link between vaccinations and autism. Now, later this was disproved. I think even the physician who said this lost his license. I mean, it was just all, you know, it was all debunked, okay? But that's how it started. So consequently, we have pockets of kids and individuals who don't have vaccinations. I guess my question to you is, first of all, how do you feel about people who are not vaccinated? Nicholas.
I mean, it goes back to, so I'm going to link this eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it goes back to the same idea of terrorism, where you're balancing between the rights of everyone else, like the general population, and rights of the individual.
Okay.
So when someone goes unvaccinated, they then become a central transmitter to disease. I mean,
exactly.
And that's going to affect the general population.
Exactly.
So, I mean, and then you're violating other people's rights. So, I mean, that is a real issue.
You hit it. I mean, that's exactly where it is. That's what it's about. But the other side is that parents feel like that they have the right to, you know, make decisions
for their child.
Mm-hmm. And parents may decide for religious reasons. They may even decide for philosophical reasons. I had figured it out statistically, you know, how many were philosophical reasons. I think it's all but two states allow exceptions to vaccination requirements for religious reasons. 20 other states allow parents not to vaccinate for philosophical reasons, okay? How do we balance public health rights with the rights of the parent? Because, and that's basically what you were saying, Nicholas. I mean, how do we do that? We have these parents who say, no, I don't want my child vaccinated. But for public health purposes.
So when they allow this, is it only like in general? Because I know schools require vaccinations. So when you say they allow it, does that mean they also are allowed to be in school?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, that's where it becomes
that's
a problem.
That's where it becomes
really.
A problem.
Because even, like, I volunteer at two elementary schools, Bond and Pineview.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's just something as simple as a cold, the teacher is really, like, you know, uh-huh. freaking out, like,
right.
oh, you're going to get the other kids sick.
Right.
So if it's something even worse, it just makes matters worse.
But yeah, and you're right. So how do we, and I don't know that you have the answer, but, I mean, this is just the question. How do we balance the public health with the rights of parents? What do you think? Sure, go ahead.
I mean, it goes back to the same idea of, like, tobacco, where
mm-hmm.
you have people smoking around your child, but are you going to sue the other people or are you going to sue the company? Because, I mean, there's been plenty of studies on secondhand smoke on the effect of a child. But when you're vaccinating your child, you have there's, like, a philosophical, like, reason why not to vaccinate your child. But, I mean, there's also a philosophical reason for not being an American or not participating mm-hmm. in being in America. I mean, everyone has to make sacrifices, and I guess that should be one is for the general population, you should vaccinate yourself and your children.
I believe some people, the reason I agree that everybody should be vaccinated because that would make it safer for everyone else. But as far as it goes with rights, we have a right to not be sick and to not be contaminated by this person.
Exactly.
And they have a right to say no to the vaccination because that's like forcing
mm-hmm.
a sickness upon
exactly.
somebody else. And since we can't completely understand the human body, you know, as somebody else's body might react differently to it. So they could be rejecting it, and then if we still force it upon them and maybe they die, then that brings in a legal issue. You know, these vaccinations, they're killing people. You know, so now it's like, well, what do we do if we still want everybody to be safe? So I do believe we should keep it at a personal level, saying they have an option whether or not to do it. But if they're not going to do it, then they have to have certain parameters that keep them away from, you know, infecting everybody. Like, let's say if they get
but
sick.
But that's almost impossible. I mean, yeah. when you think about it, let's just even take measles,
mm-hmm.
okay? They're airborne. So yes. when you sneeze, you know, you can sneeze, and those droplets might be on the table. The person that sneezed can be gone, but they can live for up to two more hours, okay? So what do you do? How do you handle that? I mean, as I see it, you know, the problem is that the parents' personal decisions affect more than just their child,
mm-hmm.
okay? And it affects other people, and that's the only problem with that. When, you know, when you say, well, you know, if they keep them in the house all the time, that's fine. But the moment that child walks, get you, one second, Alexander. But the moment that child walks out, the door, he or she is exposing everyone else. Yeah.
Well, like, I haven't had, like, chicken pox.
Mm-hmm.
I've had all my vaccinations. And I know that, like, there was someone with chicken pox in, like, my sixth grade class. And it got really weird. My mom was like, yeah, you're not going to school for a couple days just to make sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that whole big deal. And when the kid doesn't get the vaccination because the parent makes that decision, I mean, it's one thing for the parent to have the decision, but it's also making it so that kid can't have, they can't fight the disease as easily.
Mm-hmm.
And when that comes towards it, and then there's a lot of issues with their actual immune systems.
Exactly.
Because some kids, their parents are so careful,
mm-hmm.
but they keep them clean. They don't let
mm-hmm.
them play in dirt as much, and it just makes
mm-hmm.
their immune systems weaker.
Weaker, that's right.
And without the vaccinations, without strong immune systems, it's not just affecting other people. That kid's, like, likelihood of being able to cope with actual just life goes down drastically.
Good point.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, and going off that, I know someone at our school had a immune deficiency. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that could be deadly.
Indeed.
And so if you're not vaccinating your child, you are exponentially affecting that population around you.
And there are two populations that sometimes cannot be vaccinated. And you all have brought them up. One is those who have severe allergies, and the other is those who have compromised immune systems, and they may not be able to be vaccinated, okay? So if you have, you know, this population that can't be vaccinated because of medical problems, but you have another population who could be vaccinated, but, you know, parents choose not to do it, what do you do? I mean, here's someone who has something that's life-threatening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Is it a civil obligation to vaccinate versus, you know, private choice? Yes.
Even if it's not an obligation, I feel like you should want to do that because if you know the effects that it could have on other people and you know the effects that it could have on your child, why would you still why would you still put them through that, basically? Sure, you can stand on your own, your own beliefs and everything, but I feel like when it comes to affecting someone else's life, that's where you kind of need to just say, okay, I need to do this, and just step away from sticking to what you believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you all raise good points, and I know we can't solve this, but these are just some of the issues that are ongoing right now, currently, in the U.S. So, and I just wanted to get your feel on them. Another one that I wanted to hear from you about is the increased use of heroin. The use of heroin in the U.S. has doubled since, not that you know about it, okay, but what your thoughts are about it, okay?
Right.
The use of heroin in the U.S. has doubled since 2007. Almost all of it comes from across the border, from Mexico into the Southeast. Nationally, the faces are growing younger and younger. Almost a fifth of the heroin addicts and deaths were between 15 and 24. Heroin deaths of teenagers and young adults tripled from 2000 to 2010. My question to you is just, why is this happening? Why are we seeing this increase, this resurgence of heroin? And we're not talking about heroin in the ghetto, okay? Mm-hmm. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about in the ghetto, and the ghetto has nothing to do with it. We're talking about in the suburbs where they have plenty of access to money. Mm-hmm. Another thing, we're not talking about particularly individuals of color. This is a phenomenon that you're seeing even more so among white kids, okay? Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Well, we're all seniors, so we're applying to college.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really, stressful process, especially for kids who are in, the middle class and who don't have access to different scholarships or programs that help them do everything. And I know something heroin's usually used for is numbing, and it's just a coping process. And for people who have the access to it and the money for it but still have that stress they want to get rid of, it might seem like a viable option.
Okay, so you're saying, hey, they may be self-medicating. They might be, you know, using this to help them just to cope and deal. Okay, Keandre.
Also, I think it's the stress level that we go under nowadays. You know, back then, a while ago, they say that teenagers weren't nearly as stressed as we are, whether we caused that ourselves.
I don't think so.
Or whether, that's caused by society or, you know, what they put.
It's still there. You all have a lot of stress.
It's still there regardless, you know. And so it's just, with that being in the factor, then maybe the use of heroin in that numbing effect, they want that because they feel like they need it more because of all the stress that's going on.
Okay. So changes that, what I hear you saying is changes that they're going through in their lives make them more susceptible to the use of heroin, which may serve as a numbing effect. Yes. With the pain. Nicholas, what do you think?
I mean, I know heroin's a depressant, but it's also a drug. I mean, the community I'm associated with is unheard of. So, I mean, you did say that it's coming across the border in the Southwest. So, I mean, I guess it may be a geographical.
Oh, it's happening here. I know specific cases of heroin overdose in young folks.
Actually, I do remember now they released a report from FSU that heroin is now the number one drug problem, especially, I mean, it wasn't actually overdose, but it was people that were going to counselors for it. It was the primary issue was heroin, and it's like, that's I guess that's really,
it's hard to believe. And that's why I was saying at the beginning, we're not talking about the kids in the hood. We're not talking about that component. We are talking about upwardly mobile suburban kids who have money, okay? And heroin is an increase there. We're seeing it here. We've seen it here in Tallahassee. I know two specific cases where the person overdosed and died. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a conversational forum for teens and other interested folks. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. This hour, I have all seniors from Rickard's IB program, and right now we're talking about drug use, particularly heroin. Did you have some more you wanted to say, Nicholas?
Yes. I wasn't necessarily talking about money or amount of that, but it's just the common things that are being used in a community that I know of is, there's marijuana, there's alcohol, and every once in a while you get the use of certain pills. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's nothing.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, there's also rare, as well as cocaine, but you get into other stuff as opium, heroin, and those drugs that are not necessarily considered harder drugs,
right,
are almost unheard of. Okay. And so an interesting component that it's being reintroduced.
It is. I mean, and it's become a big problem for a number of different communities. Did you have comment? I'm going to get to you. I haven't forgotten.
I was just going to say maybe one of the reasons it's so popular with, I guess, kids from wealthier backgrounds is because they can afford it. Mm-hmm. Because
it's cheap now.
Yeah.
That wrench in there. It's not expensive. Okay. And from what I understand, it's cheaper than cocaine and marijuana.
Oh.
Yes, that's it.
That's a problem.
That may be another problem as well.
No, that's it.
Well, I guess even though it's cheap, the point is they still, if you have this extra money and all of the other people in your community is doing it, and I guess peer pressure could be a big thing with that.
And that's a good point, because one of the individuals that I work with who was into heroin said that she was introduced through a party, okay, at a party.
That's not surprising.
Yeah, right. And that's how she found out. And she liked the feeling, and that's what made her, seek more. So are parties places where you find a lot of drugs?
I believe it's a common place, but I wouldn't say it's the main place.
Okay.
It's mainly introduced through other people who use it, and that may occur at a party, but that doesn't always have to be the case, because let's say friends can just be hanging out one day, and then one person might pull out some heroin and then offer it to them, and then maybe it happens like that. And plus, if they, it comes into like a trust factor too, because if they trust their friend, you know, they're like, okay, they wouldn't give me anything that's really going to mess me up, you know, and whether or not they're educated on it, they're going to trust their friend that, hey, my friend is doing it, you know, it must be all right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so that might be it.
How do you all feel about the legalization of marijuana for social use, not medical marijuana?
Social use?
I mean, what's happening out in,
yeah.
A lot of stuff. Colorado.
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 California.
California. Washington.
West Coast.
Yeah, from what I hear, it's safer than tobacco. But other than that, in my mind, it's the same thing. Like, why would you choose to smoke a cigarette?
Of course, I guess you don't have to smoke it now. And, I mean, you don't. I mean, the big thing, part of it is edibles. So you can eat it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's one of the problems that we're having in Colorado, because with edibles, the individual really can't control, and they don't understand. They don't know how much they have ingested. Okay. So you have edibles. You have, just like we were talking about the e-cigarettes, you have vapors. You can do that. You can do the marijuana that way. So it's not just smoking it anymore.
Oh.
You're outdated, dear.
Well, then it might be like choosing to eat a cookie. You don't think it's really that harmful, but once you eat it, it's like this nice cookie thing. And then after that, you're like, okay.
Okay. Well, what do you all think?
I kind of feel like it's just going to start another big trend. Well, marijuana's already a trend, but it's going to become an even bigger trend than it is now. Because people are going to be like, okay, it's legal, so I can do it now. Before, it was illegal, so I kind of, if I did do it, I had to hide to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I didn't do it, probably because it's illegal. But now that it's legal, more people are going to be like, maybe I should try it once, twice, three times. And then that's how it just starts.
Well, do you think marijuana is a gateway drug? I mean, do you think, once they do marijuana, they're going to graduate?
Well, not necessarily, because I've known of people who they have done marijuana and they've been able to control it, you know, especially since the nicotine isn't, you know, really involved in marijuana as much as it is involved in cigarettes. So it's not like they're addicted.
Yeah, it's not nicotine.
Some people just like the feeling of it. And so it's all by choice and they're conscious of it, you know. It's not like with the cigarette, subconsciously you're just thinking, oh man, I'm stressed. I feel like I need another cigarette. With marijuana, it's like, man, I really like that feeling that I had. It's like a remembrance. It's not really as much in the present. It's like, I'm needing it now. Mm-hmm. It's like, I want to do it. So I think that's personal desire. And as far as the legalization of marijuana, since I don't smoke, I don't really care for it as much. But that's not to say that I'm just going to say, oh, it shouldn't be legalized. Because if somebody wants to smoke, I believe they have a right to. I don't believe that you should tell people that they can't do anything. Because we're all put here. We're all equal, you know. It's like, why shouldn't we have the right to do the things that we want to do if it's our lives? People, we can try to persuade.
Well, you don't
others.
Have the right if it's illegal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but it's illegal to whom?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's where it comes into play. And then I believe this can be like compared to whenever you were younger and we're told we can't do something. That just makes us want to do it even more.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, if you tell us that we can't do something, we're more likely to do it. But if you just let it be out on a table and say, hey, this is an option, now it doesn't stand out as much. It doesn't have that same appeal because it's not as risky by doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if it wasn't already illegalized,
right,
then not as many people would do it in the first place.
That's a good point. Yes, Nicholas.
So, I mean, marijuana in general is another depressant drug compared to cocaine, which is an inhibitor. Oh, no, I'm sorry, not an inhibitor.
Well, it's a hallucinogen.
Yeah. As well, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I'm sorry, I lost my, my train of thought.
It'll come back. I don't know where you were going. Anybody else have any other comments?
I guess when Keandre was saying that making it legal would, I guess, make it not as attractive.
So like alcohol.
I don't really think so. I think it'll be one of those things where when it becomes legal, everyone will run out and be all over it. But then as time goes on, they'll just find something else.
Okay. It'll lose
and it'll
its
be replaced
appeal.
By something else that's illegal.
Okay. Did your thought come back?
No, it did not.
That's all right, Nicholas. Well, let's move on. Are smartphones making us stupid?
Oh, man.
According to a recent survey, 65% of Americans own smartphones. The number is even higher among young people, around 85%, rendering easy access to information. So, do you think, Nicholas, are smartphones making us stupid?
It's actually funny because in one of our classes we read a article discussing this.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Actually, it was a dual article, one arguing for, one arguing against.
Okay.
And something my friend Amir and I have a similar view on is that of it's not necessarily changing how we it's changing how we think and not making us stupider.
Mm-hmm.
It's there's the argument that it's decreasing our attention span.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have ease of access to information, but we also have an ease of access to abundant information at our fingertips. And we have the ability to go on the internet and review sources and be able to access so much information. And that, I mean, for me, that makes you smarter because it's exposing you more.
Mm-hmm.
You have the ability to, like, review so many different sources and become a more well-rounded person on that particular subject.
Okay. Yes, May.
This is going to sound a little offensive for some people, but for some people, I have to say definitely. I mean, and it's not just because they're stupid or anything. It's because they aren't really taught in how to treat that information. Like Nick said, you have all of it at your fingertips, and they're not careful with it. Like, you can read one thing. Like, I heard a couple of years ago Bill Nye died, and I had, like, a bunch of people freaking out about it because they didn't check.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. I mean, my little brother has this problem. He's really bad about just seeing something and thinking it's real. And mm-hmm. it's, like, that false reality that you just get from looking at whatever's on the front page. And they don't check. And sometimes it's just because they're not taught to. But with other people, they're really careful about it, and they treat it well. And, I mean, for some people, it's a great, awesome thing. For some people, they just maybe need to take, like, taking a class sounds weird.
Well, they do have classes on how to use smartphones, mm-hmm. you know, when you buy them. What do you think, DeAndre?
Well, personally, I believe it's like a chain link reaction, really. It's like smartphones directly aren't making us stupider. They're making us lazier. And in turn, that's making us stupider. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we're using our smartphones so much for just the tiniest of things that we could do normally. Like, for example, the calculator. You know, calculators are now on our phones. And this is going away from smartphones a little bit and just going to technology in general. You know, technology is supposed to make life easier. But the calculator now has made people to where they don't even want to think anymore. And this relates back to the smartphone because we all have calculators on our smartphones.
Right.
And so it's just, now people, they don't want to think about a certain situation. They'd rather just Google it. And even now, I'm guilty of this situation, you know. Instead of thinking something through or instead of really trying to go read and find the answer, I'd rather just type in the question on Google and see if I can get a quick answer.
Quick answer.
And I think it's because time is of the essence, you know. And so it's like everybody wants to do something so quickly that they don't actually – they're losing the brain process that goes with it. And so we're turning more into computers than humans.
So. Yeah, I agree with what Keandre said, because that was one of the things I was going to bring up about how it's making people lazier. But mm-hmm. I'm going to go to the second thing now, since he already discussed that.
Yeah.
I feel like it's damaging social skills.
That was my next question.
Because
communications.
I've gone to a dinner for a birthday or whatever that was,
mm-hmm.
and like everyone's just on their phones, and I'm sitting there like, so we're not going to talk to each other? We're not going to do anything? So it's like it got to the point where everyone's trying to record this. Everyone, and sometimes I do it too, but I know when to turn it off and turn it on. And another problem that I've seen really is that they post things and don't really think about what they're posting, especially on like Instagram, Twitter, and all the other social media apps. Like someone would post a fight or so, and then they don't think, okay, this can get me in trouble because now everyone knows that I was there.
That's right. That's right. Well, and I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to ask you about the influence of smartphones and communication. I have been out and have seen couples sitting at a table out eating. They might have been holding hands, but using the smartphone. And there was no communication because I sat there and watched them. And I was like, you know, could you see nobody's talking? You know, they had each other's, but they were going back and forth.
Like I said, sometimes I do it, but it's really irritating when I'm trying to talk to someone and they're like typing, and then they look up and say, "What did you say?" Because I'm like, this whole time you weren't listening to anything that I just said. And it's like,
right.
What?
Right. And what about instant gratification? One of the big issues is that young folks are so tied into instant gratification, they don't know how to delay and wait. With smartphones, you have that instant gratification.
What teachers hate.
It's that, and I mean, that goes back to video games. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, I guess we also, like, you have video games on your phone, but, I mean, video games in general is supposed to give you gratification for something that would take you a while. I mean, you... In a video game, you can go on a great adventure and have, like, and earn this stuff. But, I mean, my father tells me, it's like, you aren't really earning it. That's not work.
Right. That's
just
true.
Like,
it's a different type of work.
It's a different type. Well, in these last few minutes, we look at climate change. And climate change, the effects of climate change, they're saying, can be drastic, particularly for nations that don't act quickly. If the world does not address the Earth's warming temps, we're going to have severe food shortages, crops may become harder to grow, rising levels, sea levels make it living in coastal cities difficult, large-scale extinction of plants and animals. So climate change is presenting a problem. What do you see as the issue? And what happens with climate change? If you don't know, it's the burning of fossil fuels like oil and coal that have caused the buildup of carbon dioxide and other gases in the atmosphere, and they get kind of locked in this atmosphere, okay, so they don't spread out. They aren't diverse. Mm-hmm. So in these last few minutes, how do you all feel about yes, Alexandra?
I've been taking an environmental class just because I needed the extra class, honestly.
Okay.
But, like, she, for one of the tests we have to send out, she's making us grow plants. And I had to go and purchase these seeds, and I had to decide which ones would actually grow, because I know this time last year it was cold, and it was still rainy.
That's right.
Know.
It was colder.
And
you're right.
I wasn't sure if these things were actually going to grow, because they were supposed to grow from, like, July to October, and it's November, and guess what?
They're growing.
And, I mean, I've got them in this, like, tin thing with a lid on top, so it's kind of like a greenhouse. But it's still, like, I wasn't entirely sure they were going to grow because I thought the temperatures outside might get colder, but they didn't. And that same kind of thing's probably
happening.
Going on worldwide,
exactly.
Especially with people who grow these things for a living.
That's a great analogy. Yeah, that's exactly what's going on.
I think another problem with climate change is that it's changing all of the data that we have right now and all of the knowledge that we have on, like, certain things, like you said with the growing, if it was supposed to grow from July to October, well, you might not have even planted them being in November now because you were thinking, well, man, I might not even be able to grow this, you know. And so that might make or break a person's life, you know. That might, like, save a person's life or, I think you get what I'm saying. Like,
right.
Somebody, they wouldn't even plant it because they would feel like it wouldn't grow, and so then they wouldn't actually get what they needed from that plant. And that could save somebody's life in the end, but that is it's changing everything, to be honest.
Any other quick comments?
I mean, climate change is definitely relevant. I mean, it's something that is happening that does need to be addressed because, I mean, as you were saying, it's the development of crops, it's changes in water, and so, I mean, it's a fact.
Got to cut you out. But thank you all for coming. Appreciate your input. That's it for this edition of 411 Teen. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. This edition of 411 Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistance, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Teen podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.